800-444-1977. Joe Rich is our general manager and editor. I'm David Barsamyan. Thank you for listening. And happy birthday, Noam Chomsky.
Listening to KBOO Portland.
You're listening to KBOO's All Thrills, No Frills Volume 4 Special Programming Campaign. Check out all the great special programs we're bringing you now through April 15th at kboo.fm/ATNF4.
Calling all lovers of physical media. Join us at the KBOO station on Friday, March 7th from 6 to 9 p.m. for our monthly First Friday pop-up gallery event. Join us for a celebration of DIY indie media, featuring local artists, vendors, and live music. Pick up a zine, flip through some vinyl, participate in community crafts, and help us prove that radio isn't dead. Support for this event comes from Salvador Molly's Restaurant and from Collective Roots Alternative Peer Groups for Teens.
Good evening, my listeners. My name is TK Kapoor. I'm going to be your host this evening. I'm going solo tonight. I don't have anybody to interview on board, but I hope it's going to be a wonderful evening. This Global Sales Show, just for those who are just joining us for the first time, the Global Sales Show is a show about talking about life, immigrants, refugees, and many other cultural aspects that connect immigrants and refugees to the international community. So tonight, I felt like it's my time to step back and look back as well. Step aside and look back. The reason why I'm saying this is because I was supposed to have hosted a show on Black History Month last February, but I just missed the show. So I felt I'd be remiss if I went about doing my own business without actually stopping to acknowledge where I am, why I'm here, and what it means for me to be here in the USA. I grew up in Zimbabwe, Africa, Southern Africa, and my life there was just a dream for me to think about one day going far away to a place where I knew nobody, but still I would never realize I would still make a family, I would connect with friends and network and become part of the community. So why was it so easy for me to connect to the local community? Mainly because I also found Black people here in America. Those became my brothers and sisters. Of course, we have this common race and we had some common distant relationship based on our roots. But just to connect life and direct with fellow Americans, Black Americans in America, was such a blessing to me. So for this month, I realized I need to talk about what it means to me to be Black in America when I'm from Africa. Before I dive into the depth of my conversation, I want to play a song by Nina Simmons. It's called I Shall Be Released. Please enjoy.
taste. They say every distance is not near. So I remember every face of every man who put me here.
Oh, I see my light come shining from the west down to the east. Any day now, any day now, I shall be released.
They say every man needs protection. Fall. So I swear I see my reflection somewhere inside these walls.
Oh,
I see my life come shining. Understands a man in this lonely crowd, man who says he's not to blame. All day long I hear him hollering so loud, just crying out that he's not to blame.
Oh, that was a special song from Nina Simmons. It's called I Shall Be Released. It's a message of hope. No matter what you're going through, there will come a time when you still have to be set free, even from slavery. Slavery ended, colonialism to some extent ended, many other bad systems ended, but still, there is hope. No matter what you do or how desperate you can be, or no matter how hopeless you are, still you shall be released. That's the message of the song. For those just joining us, my name is TK Kapura. I'm your host this evening on the Global Sail Show. I cover immigrant and refugee topics, and tonight I'm going to cover much about the Black History Month and what it means for me as an African living in the USA. First of all, I present myself with humility and gratitude as a Black African immigrant joining my fellow Black community here in the USA to celebrate the Black History Month. I know many may be wondering, why are you talking about the Black History Month? It was in February. The reason is because I was not here when I was supposed to share my experiences. So I just took this opportunity to share with everyone. I have many reasons for wholeheartedly celebrating the Black History Month. First of all, I'm Black, and my skin color places me in the American Black community that shares many of its painful struggles and challenges with fellow Black communities around the world. I'm from Zimbabwe, as I said before. It's one of the last nations in the world to shake off colonialism and apartheid. We only got our independence in 1980. And all this time we'd struggled under the British colonial system, and our country was called Rhodesia up to 1980 when we got independent. Based on my lived experience in Zimbabwe, some designed global systems have purposefully hampered the progress of the black person. No matter where they are, there's still some challenges on the system somehow. They say you have to work 10 times harder for you to be like the other counterpart. You have to work as extra hard, you have to be dedicated, you have to do a lot of other things for you to be seen, to be noticeable, and so forth. Such systems that have prohibited the black man from progress include slavery, colonialism, and apartheid. As the past trauma tries to heal, we continually face renewed challenges of other issues that keep us grounded. For example, pay equity, could be poverty, could be homelessness, could be lack of equal opportunity, could be compromised dignity among fellow global citizens. So some will say, so why are you talking about it? What is it going to do? What is it going to change? And I can tell you, no effort is wasted. Coming from Rhodesia, during the system when I was there, when I was growing up as a young kid in Rhodesia, nobody ever imagined that the system in Rhodesia would be overturned by just ordinary people trying to set themselves free. The Prime Minister of Rhodesia at that time was called Ian Smith. He had so much advanced infrastructure and artillery, military hardware, and many other things that he used to apply to beat up what he called the guerrilla movement, that was the black movement, trying to get independence in Zimbabwe. There was a lot of suffering and people died so much, landmines, guns, bullets, and everything. Nobody knew there would be hope, but for some reason, the world listened. Through talking, through campaigning, through advocacy, the world listened, and eventually Ian Smith had to surrender. He had to compromise somehow. Then we got our independence in 1980. Nobody knew, nobody even expected would be independent. Even the British Prime Minister, the Ian Smith, the Rhodesian Prime Minister, had actually declared, not in 1,000 years would that country be ruled by a black person, but in 1980, 14 years after he had said those words, we found ourselves free. So no effort is wasted, no matter what. If you try to overturn something that's bad, if you try to defeat a bad system, it's still doable, it's still possible. It's a matter of time. So people have to talk about it. They have to discuss, talk about it, make it public information so that people can be conscious, that they can know what they are doing and wherever they are going. Same thing applied to South Africa in apartheid days. Nobody ever expected Nelson Mandela to be free from prison. 27 years later, he was free. So nothing is impossible. It's a matter of time. I want to go on with my conversation, but before that, how about we play another song again by Tracy Chapman? It's called Talking About a Revolution.
Don't you know we're talking about a revolution that sounds like a whisper? Don't you know we're talking about a revolution that sounds like a whisper? While they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment line, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know they're talking about a revolution? It sounds like a whisper. Who are people gonna rise up and get their share? Who are people gonna rise up and take what's theirs? Don't you know you better run, 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 run. talking about a revolution. Oh, oh no, I'm talking about a revolution. Oh, oh, while they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know you're talking about a revolution? It sounds. Starting to turn, talking about a revolution. Yes, finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about a revolution. Oh, oh no. Talking about a revolution. Oh, oh no. Talking about a revolution. Oh, oh no.
That was the song Talking About Revolution by Tracy Chapman. Have you ever asked why people start revolutions? It's because of disgruntlement, because of abuse of human rights, because of many other things that make people want to quest for change in some way. So people have to express themselves and be willing to do something so they can change the system. I love that. So for those just joining us, my name is TK Kapura. I'm your host this evening on this Global Sales Show. I'm talking about the Black History Month, belated Black History Month message. So to continue from where I left, I just want to say the works, inventions, discoveries, and contributions made by our community members remain hardly acknowledged at times. Sometimes they are also not deservingly rewarded. With so much pushback and doubt from those who control the global system, it's a struggle to stay relevant and be respected for one's intellect and hard work. The same applies to how somebody can show up or how they speak or how they sound. You don't measure somebody's intelligence or IQ by how they look or their accent or whatever their features. They don't define anything. It was Martin Luther King who said you cannot measure a person's IQ by how they look, but you have to measure them by what they put on the table, their contributions to intellectual development, their contributions to inventions and many other things. That's how we need to measure men. Men should be measured, or women should be measured, by how much they contribute to their community or to their friends, their neighbors, and many other things that they do. So generations of the people from the African diaspora have experienced centuries of segregation, oppression, racism, and bias. These afflictions have created pain, trauma, and frustration that has been passed on to their descendants. For example, there's what they call the chain of poverty. If somebody's poor, then they actually get up to this stage where they get old, but they haven't still recovered from that poverty. That means the poverty is still going to flow on to their next generation, and so forth. So some of these things are lifetime curses if you don't stop the chain. Somebody has to break that chain so that somebody can actually stand up and say enough of the poverty, enough of injustice, enough of this and that, so that we can all stand up and get a piece of the cake on the table. But if you don't really stand up to go and get the cake on the table, the cake is not going to come walk to you. They also say, like in my language, those who wait for a roast drumstick in their bed, they wait forever, because the roasted drumstick will never walk to your pillow. You have to get up and go find the chicken, roast it, and then you can enjoy the drumstick. Right, so it's a matter of hard work, dedication, and doing many other things to change the situation where you are. If you feel like there is need for change, if there is need for justice and many other things, speak up, stand up, speak up, do something peacefully, and you can still make it work. So these afflictions have created pain in the Black history, trauma and frustration, and has been passed on to their descendants. However, there have been Black historical figures in the USA and around the world who led social revolutions for freedom. We have people like Nelson Mandela, Martin Luther King, many others. They led those revolutions for freedom, equality, justice, and that has changed the very course of history. If everybody was just laid back complaining and going home to sleep tomorrow, the same thing, hundreds and hundreds of years, there would be no change. So the influence of people who were able to stand up and speak up continues to inspire current leaders and everyday people to continue to stand against tyranny and oppression. It's good to say something. When you see something, say something so that people can be aware, like, oh, this is injustice, or this is a misnomer, this is a transgression. People need to stand up and say something. Before I continue with my conversation, with my narrative, I'm just going to play another song again. This time it's called Babylon System by Bob Marley.
What you wanted us to be. We are what we are. That's the way it's going to be. If you don't know, you can't educate us or no equal opportunity. Talking about my freedom. People.
That was Babylon System by Bob Marley. I'll digress a little bit and share with you some childhood experiences on how I got to discover Bob Marley. When we got our independence in 1980, Bob Marley came to perform in Zimbabwe. The way he came was because one of our government leaders flew into Miami to ask him to come and perform, and they offered him some amounts of money. They were asking, like, okay, how much would you charge us for you to come with your train, your instruments, and everything to come and perform in Zimbabwe for our independence? Then he said he was not going to charge anything. He was going to use two planes, one with instruments, stage equipment, and everything. The other one was going to be with his crew, the band members, who would come in and play. So they came into Harare, Zimbabwe, the capital, and they performed in the stadium in the city. It was one of those greatest memories ever. I was on my father's shoulders listening to him perform that night. It was kind of cold that night when they performed in 1980 before independence. That was the night leading into independence. It was such a great memory for him and his crew to be in Zimbabwe and perform the song Zimbabwe, just as a birthday gift for my country that had become free at that time. And he also even asked our government leaders to take care of the people, just to be honest and to be accountable to the people so that we could live longer, because he had wished and done everything he could as a musician just to try to make Africa free so that people could be free and enjoy themselves in Africa. Nobody even ever imagined a government turning against its own people to lead people to become refugees even after we had gotten our independence in 1980. But 20 years later, I found myself in the USA as a refugee. That's life. It happens, takes any twists and turns as people play politics and they become greedy and stuff like that. So that's the story of Bob Marley, and that's how I got connected to knowing his music and to appreciate who he was and what he did for my country. Yeah, so for those just joining us, you're listening to me, TK, and I'm your host this evening on the Global Sales Show. I'm talking about Black History Month, and just for your information, I cover immigrants and refugees' experiences here in the USA. So I was talking about what impact history has played on the Black lives in general in the whole world, from slavery to where we stand today, and how I come into this puzzle as an African immigrant living in the USA. Honestly, when I got over here to the USA, I was so keen and curious to know my fellow brothers and sisters in the Black community. I wanted to discover more about them because we had seen so much based on movies. We've seen, listened to so much music by Black artists from the USA. We'd seen so many heroes from the Black communities here in the USA. And I just wanting to know, like, who are they and what is their situation like when I get to the ground? Yes, I was able to connect with a lot of different communities, Black communities, also rebuild on my love for music, movies, and many other things that I could just try to do some flashbacks based on the movies I'd watched before, the comedy that I'd listened to while I was growing up in Africa, and just seeing the real people who I called Black Americans, my fellow brothers and my fellow sisters living in the US. It would also be a good experience to get to know, like, interesting factoids about the Black community. We shared so much in common on culture, how to understand people, how to enjoy food, how to enjoy culture. There were so many other attributes that I could relate to. Of course, they would need more time to explain it, break it down, like, okay, how, why, where. There would be so many things that I would look at, like, from Black communities, like, oh, that rings bells, that's us. But it would be so, like, we are separated by millions of millions of distances apart, but still would also be reunited by the same culture, sharing some other things in common, the highlights. Like, you listen to a piece of music, like, oh, I think this song maybe means something to me, the same way it means something to the local community. So the other thing, too, that made me very interested and very respectful about the Black community here in the USA was the very fact that when I got here, I did not really feel like a stranger going on to Mars. I saw fellow black people who looked like me. Of course, I have a darker skin, but I would still be the me getting to know and to mix up with other local people here. And besides my accent too, which may define me as an African person, but I would still connect with them like, okay, this is the community that I'm supposed to be connected with. That's my community. We share the same roots, we share the same background, but I was so impressed to see a lot of other, many other experiences that I learned and copied, and I would actually relate to based on the way people lived, the way they shared their stories, the way they share their narrative about who they are and what they stand for in this community. So talking about the Black History Month, I first had to learn much about the Black History Month in history classes based on what happened. Then we'd also have to cover slavery and how it ended in the U.S. 158 years ago by now. So I pay allegiance to that history, and I do not take that history for granted. I pay allegiance too to the generations of Black American ancestors forced to endure a brutal experience, not out of their own wish, but because of somebody who was greedy or corrupt or somebody who was selfish. I also salute those who sacrificed so much for the freedom, recognition, and civil rights that we now enjoy today. The Civil Rights Act of 1964 prohibits discrimination on the basis of race, color, religion, sex, or national origin. This act was the harbinger of the Voting Rights Act of 1965, the Age Discrimination in Employment Act of 1967, and the Strengthening of Rights of Women in the 70s. One act was built upon the other, and when one is unraveled, the rest are surely going to fall apart. So why do we talk much about the Black History Month? Why are we having it? What does it matter? The reason is that if we don't talk about it, we're going to forget about it. The next generation is going to not know what happened, what's going on, what was the history like, what are the scars that you talk about that are hardly anywhere to be seen. Those scars need to be talked about so that people can understand that black is real and people have had their terrible past, but still some of these things are still part of the trauma that people still live up to today. But still, like I said before, no situation is permanent. Things come and go, but we still have to stop, stand back, and look, where are we coming from as black people? It could be from South America, from the Caribbean islands, from Africa. Black people are everywhere. They are dotted. We're not that much across the world, but if we connect those dots, we share so much of a large history that has contributed tremendously to music, to entertainment, to football, like in the US NFL and National Basketball Association. Many other ventures where the black people have contributed still need to be acknowledged, because they add that that stripe to whatever is happening. The black people come in and add a stripe, and they make a difference in what they do and contribute to the America that we see today. If you believe that black is simply defined as a person of African descent, then the total number of black people in the world is about 7.8 billion as of the year 2020. Every person alive now and every person who has ever lived is of African ancestry. The only question is the number of generations it's been since the person's ancestors left. So although controversial, that might be about the most objective answer one could hope to get. However, this is not the definition that is most commonly used, and therefore not the definition that will be operating under the sake of this discussion. That being said, no matter where a black person is, their roots remain in Africa. That's where everything started. Of course, out of not a very colorful picture or colorful experience, but that's where things started. And here we are now. We still move on, but we still have to celebrate who we are. Stop, stand, and look back, check where we are, where are we going, what have we made, what have we done so far to correct those imbalances, what have we done so far to right the wrongs that have been committed against black people based on history. So it's a long story, it's a painful road, but we still cannot ignore that, and we still must talk about it so that we can polish up ways to improve life and to improve humanity. So before I go further with my discussion, I just wanted to remind those just joining us that my name is TK Kapura. I'm the host on the Global Sales Show, and here I am talking about Black History Month, which was supposed to be in February only. It's a belated narrative, but I'm still going to talk about it just to share where we are, where we stand, what we do, and where we are going from here. So I'm going to move on to the next song. This song is called You Can Call Me Al, from Paul Simon. He lived in South Africa for a very long time, and I was also able to see him in person when he came to Zimbabwe to perform with a group called Black Mambazo in the 80s, late 80s. So here's the song. Please enjoy. You Can Call Me Al.
Why am I soft in the middle now? Why am I soft in the middle? The rest of my life is so hard. I need a photo opportunity. I want a shot of redemption. Don't want to end up a cartoon in a cartoon graveyard. Bone digger, bone digger, dogs in the moonlight. Far away in my well-lit room. Mr. Beer Melly, Beer Melly, get these mutts away from me, you know. I don't find this stuff amusing anymore. If you be my bodyguard, I can be your long lost pal. I can call you Betty, Betty, when you call me, you can call me Al. A man walks down the street, he says, why am I short of attention? Got a short little span of attention, and all my nights are so long. Where's my wife and family? What if I die here? Who'll be my role model now that my role model is gone, gone? He ducked back down the alley with some roly-poly little bat-faced girl. All along, along, there were incidents and accidents. There were hints and allegations. If you'll be my bodyguard, I can be your long-lost pal. I can call you Daddy, and Daddy when you call.
When you call me, you call me.
That was Paul Simon with the song "You Can Call Me Al." Just to digress again, I got to know Paul Simon just watching him perform on stage in Zimbabwe when he came to perform for a human rights concert. He was joined by people like Bruce Springsteen, Tracy Chapman. That was my first time to discover Tracy Chapman in Zimbabwe. It was a human rights concert. They brought so much life to my country that time, when things were still so much fun. We had so much fun just watching them perform. So what am I talking about today? I'm talking about Black History Month and the importance of this history that we should understand and appreciate as we walk all these across all these hundreds of thousands of years into the future. Many may also want to know, like, what is Africa like, the origin of the Black person? Generally, Africa south of the Sahara Desert is mainly composed of Black people. And generally, the term Black is used to classify those of recent sub-Saharan African descent, or those with ancestors indigenous to Oceania or Australia. Currently, Africa is the second most populous continent in the world, with around 1.22 billion residents, while Oceania and Australia have a combined lot of 43 million residents. While Africa south of Sahara is Black, predominantly Black, the most interesting thing is the culture there. There are so many languages, but if you cut across the middle part, if you find a median line from the north going to the south, the Swahili language dominates most of the languages there. So they become a dilution as they move further from the median. They become like diluted Swahili, and many other languages pick up as well after that. So it's a very interesting thing in that even the foods that people share in the African context, some foods are quite common among other African nationalities as they go about, and their culture and habits tend also to be kind of connected somehow. Like, it's like the Venn diagram kind of thing, but as you move into from one nation to the next, you find some commonalities between the culture, the music, the drum beats, and many other things that connect Africa. As an example too, if you take the marimba instrument, that's also quite popular here in Portland, Oregon. The marimba music is played here in Zimbabwe. Then if you go to South America, like I think it's El Salvador and some other countries in South America, they also play the same instrument, and it's also composed the same way. It's so interesting how the diaspora brought the culture to share with those they lived with. You take that instrument into the Caribbean, they also do the same thing, and they also do the same folklore, dances, music, singing, even part of the rap music that I can listen to today. Some of the things that I get to listen from the radio stations, I'm like, oh, this may have something to do with where I'm coming from. Grandma used to say, sing some of these things, but in a different language, for folklore stories after dinner, before we go to sleep. So it's quite an interesting culture in that it's interconnected, but the elements of that culture are never fading. They still keep on rebuilding, even from the new generation that gets to play music. You can feel some of those things from the way they sing or they compose music that they perform to the world. Even dancing too is part of that element that makes Black people unique. Their artistic ways of doing things, their way to perform, to deliver, to tell stories, it's still reminiscent of what Africa could be mainly about, based on my lived experience in Africa. To get back to the audience, my name is TK Capra. I'm your host this evening, performing on this Global Cell show, and I'm talking about refugees, immigrants, and today I was mainly focused on the Black History Month, what it means to be Black, what it means, what the history means to the Black community. I can say the Black History Month is very important for our communities to understand where people are coming from, so the young generation cannot take anything for granted. They need to understand where they are coming from, where their ancestors came from, and how they passed through some hurdles to be where they are now, and how they are currently positioned has something to do with the historical imbalances that have happened in the past. So many other things happened. That's why it's written in the books, and that's why also people need to continue to talk about it, because it shapes what's coming in the future. If we don't acknowledge our history, then we won't really have a good way to narrate it in the future. That's why also some of our writers have said, until the hunted, until animals can tell their own stories, the story of the hunter shall always be glorified. So if you don't talk about your own history, if you don't acknowledge it, or if you don't stop and pay attention to it, somebody's going to narrate it for you. And when they start narrating it on your behalf, don't blame them, don't point fingers once they start saying stuff that you don't like. So it's best that you say it yourself, and you say it in your own way based on what you know and what you've heard from those who know. That's how Black history matters to the current life we live. You can look at schooling systems, you can look at jobs, you can look at the economy, you can look at anything. It's shaped by history, and history has said a lot, has given a lot on how race relations matter in the life we live today. That's why Black History Month is very important. Stop, stand, and look and reflect. Who are we? Where are we coming from? Where are we going? How can we make things better? How can we improve our current conditions? How can we be like others in terms of their economic status, their standing, their housing, everything? How can we defeat poverty? How can we defeat incarceration? How can we defeat many other challenges that we face? Why are people committing crimes? Why are so many people behind bars? What's happening? What's going on? There is a lot. There's a connection of dots between how people end up doing some things and how people end up in certain situations. It's because of poverty, sometimes because of circumstances and so forth. So we need to talk about that, and we need to highlight that so that people can understand and can appreciate where we are. But still, the fight is on. People need still to remember it has been a long road. It has been a long history, but still people can overcome. Like Martin Luther King said, we shall overcome. So Black History Month is quite important in that it's a moment for us all to reflect and to learn something and to challenge ourselves. Like, what's the way forward? How can we do better? How can we approach the stage with an equal consideration of what we can achieve or what we can accomplish? How can we have better contracts in sports, for example? How can we have a better approach to many other things that happen, to performances in studios, in Hollywood, wherever we are? How can we make it better so that history cannot repeat itself in terms of social injustice and many other things? So before I move on further, I'm going to just also explain a little bit more about what Africa stands for when it comes to the Black History Month and how Africa connects with this current world at large. Like I said before, Africa is the home base of the Black people. It's the roots of the Black people, be it in Caribbean, be it in South America, be it in America, North America. Black people came from Africa. So from Africa, they took on to the diaspora, not out of their own wish, but out of forced displacement, forced circumstances, leading into slavery and many other things. Then we have a lot of history in between that made people resist some of those practices, free themselves, and try to be independent. Then from that independence came out so many talents, creativity, people rescuing others, people resisting injustice, people doing a lot of other things, inventions, people doing many other things that would make them heroes, inventors, things that would make them stand up and be counted. People had to do a lot of other things, and life went on, but still healing had to happen. So as we speak today, there's still a lot of healing to be done, because history has not just erased itself. It's still a process. People are going through a lot, but still there is still more time for more things, for more healing to happen, and for more tolerance to happen, and more change required so that people can live, but knowing some injustices have been corrected, and also some things will never be repeated in people's lives as people walk on to the next generation. There are things that must never be repeated in the history of man. So those things like slavery and colonialism and apartheid, like in the South African context, is something that should never be repeated in the history of man. So if apartheid was going to be talked about today, people will be shocked, like, what's going on now? Should we mean more people being decimated, being thrown off the deck because of race relations? It would be a deplorable situation. So the Black History Month is just a reminder for the year for people to stand up, stop, stare, look, consider, and reflect, like, how can we do better? How can we change global systems so that we can all be equal and have equal consideration and opportunity, so we can all thrive and live in peace? It would be a very great world where people would live in peace without war. People would just be, they call it a dream world, a utopia, where people just live in peace, respect each other, live in kindness, share what they have in a friendly way, and do many other things together to thrive as a community, because it's through unity that people can have more strength to defeat issues, to defeat disease, to defeat ignorance, and many other things that come through unity. So unity is very important. And in the Black History Month, all I emphasize is my main point of talk right now, my main theme for my message is unity strength. We can do much more together if we can work and love each other and be able to accommodate each other and be tolerant as well. Right, so great. So this is going to be, as I'm winding up now to my talk, I just want to say, hey, wherever you are, if you're listening to me right now, just do one or two acts of kindness to the next person. You may not know that person. You don't have to know them by name, but just be kind to the next person so that you can make a better day for them. And also remember that as human beings, our futures in this world are intertwined, as our histories from our past. We must all stand together and honor the sacrifices made by those who came before us by not repeating the same mistakes of the past. We must continue to fight for equality and justice. Wherever you are, stand up and be counted as one who advocated for human rights. So I'm going to wind up and say on my very last song, this is a song by a group called Sanko Mota. It's from South Africa. They were known as human rights activists. They sang so much, singing for world peace, singing for wars to end, singing for apartheid to go away from South Africa. They sang and sang until independence came to South Africa in 1990. So their song is called Stop the War, Sanko Mota. But before I play this song, I'm just going to tell you that I'm so thankful that you're listening to me today on this global show, Global Cell Show. That's my show every first Wednesday of the month. And thank you for listening. And here's the song, Stop the War by Sanko Mota. Have a good evening.
When it's love to keep peace alive, hey, hey, hey. So let love be king, then peace will reign. Yes, this world is love to keep peace. So let love be king, then peace will reign.
cannot draw a line to any man that rule. I can only plead for the life of man. The generosity of God is unchallengeable. He gave us life, so let us live. Sing along.
Stop the war.
Stop the war.
Hey, hey.
Right now we have to stop the war. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, hey.
Hey, hey, we have to stop. Let's stop the war.
Hey, hey.
Ain't no turning back. We gotta stop the war right now. Papers, and we open them up. There is war going on somewhere. Every day we turn on our radios, there is war going on somewhere. Every day we go home because we want to sit down, lay back, turn on our televisions, there is war going on somewhere. To stop this war. Let's stop the war now. Let's stop this war. Ain't no turning back. Stop the war. Stop the war. Hey, hey, we got to stop. Let's stop this war. Ain't no turning back. We gotta stop the war. Stop the war. I believe we are all here because we believe we are one. Is there anyone out there who would like to be responsible for the destruction of this world? No. Is there anyone out there who would like to be responsible for the making of this world? Can I get a witness out there? All right, maybe if we put our hands together and sing this song together, our prayers will be heard. Let's sing this song now. Let's stop the war, yeah. Let us stop this war. Let's stop the war, yeah. Everybody sing this song. Let's stop the war. Ain't no turning back. We gotta stop the war. Stop the war. Let's sing along and stop the war. Stop the war. Ain't no turning back. We gotta stop the war. Stop the war. Hey, hey, we gotta stop the war. Ain't no turning back. We gotta stop the war. Stop the war. Hey, hey, we gotta stop the war. Ain't no turning back. We gotta stop the war. the war, stop the war now. Let me hear you now.
Stop the war. Hey, hey.
You're right now. Yeah.
Stop the war.
Hey, hey.
Hey, hey.
Hey, hey. We got to
stop the war.
Stop the war.
Hey, hey.
Right now. We got to
stop the war.
Yeah. Hey,
hey.
Let's sing along.
Stop the war.
Stop the war.
Hey, hey.
Ain't no turning back. We gotta stop the war. Stop the war.
Hey, hey.
Political leaders.
The
least it's at last. All we got to do.
You are listening to KBOO, Portland, on 90.7 FM. K282BH, Philomath, on 104.3 FM.